Okay, so we're going to go into our lesson. Let's open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another day. We thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, again, you have been faithful, Lord God. You have been faithful and gracious to bring us into this day, Lord God. We thank you for your many, many blessings, and we thank you for understanding. We thank you for your word that teaches us, that your word that is so true, your word that we can hold on to through the fire, Lord God. Father, you said in the world we shall have tribulation, but we should be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. And we thank you that you've overcome, Lord God. So even though we cry and even though we fight, Lord God, we know that in you we are overcomers. So we stand on that and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we go into lesson 31, the title is The Captain of the Hosts of the Lord. And the theme for this lesson is so appropriate because the theme is victory. Okay, so we're going to talk about getting victory. Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just making it. I'm tired of just being mediocre. We want to go on to victory in our lives. So our key verse comes from Joshua 5. And it says, now when Joshua was by Jericho, he looked up, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And that's Joshua 5:14. Now, folks, in order to really get the full context of this, what's going on in this chapter, we have got to go to Joshua 5. Okay, I couldn't put the whole chapter up there, but open your Bibles to Joshua 5, because we got to read this whole thing. This whole thing on Joshua 5. And I'm reading from the Amplified, so I'm going to start reading. And it says, now it happened, starting at the first verse, now it happened when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in despair. And there was no fighting spirit in them and any longer because of the Israelites and what God had done for them. I just want you to get the context of all of this. Verse 2 says, and at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourselves flint knives and circumcise the new generation of the sons of Israel as was done before. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeth Haraloth, forgive me for that pronunciation. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all of the men of war, had died in the wilderness along the way after they left Egypt. All the males who came out were circumcised, but all the males who were born in the wilderness on the way as they left Egypt were not circumcised. For the Israelites walked 40 years in the wilderness until the nation, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, died because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. To them, the Lord had sworn an oath that he would not let them see the land which he had promised to their fathers to give us, a land of abundance, flowing with milk and honey. So it was their uncircumcised sons whom he raised up in their place, whom Joshua circumcised, because circumcision had not been performed on the way. Then, verse 8 says, when they had finished circumcising all the males of the nation, they stayed in their place in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach, the derision, the ridicule of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal, or rolling, to this day. I want you to really absorb everything that's going on. While verse 10 says, while the Israelites camped at Gilgal, they preserved the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month in the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. And get this, and the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the Israelites no longer had manna, but they ate some of the produce of the land of Canaan during that year. They're now eating the blessing. They're now into the promise, and they're eating the blessing. I want you to get that. Now, when Joshua was by Jericho, he looked up, and behold, and this is our verse, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" And he said, "No, rather, I have come now as a captain of the army of the Lord." Then Joshua fell with his face toward the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What does my Lord have to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord of the army said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy, set apart to God." And Joshua did so. There is a lot here. And folks, when I was studying this, it was just so amazing how it compared to what many of us are going through right now, what we have been through, and where we are headed right now. You know, this has been an interesting year, the year of 2017. I have never heard so many people tell me about the hardships they've had, and, you know, in a long time. I can't remember the hardships and the tragedies and all the things that they have faced. And, you know, when I was reading this, I was like, Lord, this is just like what so many people are going through, you know. But we have to understand everything that's going on here and how they had to stop and they had to commit themselves to the Lord before they possessed this land. So going to your lesson, let's start reading our notes. And it says, our theme, as I said, is victory. Victory for all God's people come in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes it seems that God sets up certain situations to show us his sovereignty. From his vantage point, the view is always victory. Can I say that again? From God's vantage point, the view is always victory. It is never defeat. God is always victorious. So we want to look at the next point in your lesson. Says this setting in Joshua is very significant in that it is a new beginning for the children of Israel, the ones who contend and struggle with God. They were about to enter the promised land. And you need to understand, you know, if you really study biblical numerology, God is a God of order. And God has order, and God sets numbers in place. He has this thing with the number 7. And theologians have told us and taught us that the number 7 is God's number of completion. He made the earth in 7 days. So many times 7 comes up when it comes to the completion of something. You know, and then 8 is God's number of new beginnings. So, folks, I don't think it's any coincidence. Those of you that have gone through, me included, I have never gone through so much warfare that I've gone through in a long time, that I've gone through in 2017. You know, and the Lord just kept telling me, this is your final exam. You need to pass the final exam. If you're going to go on to the next level, the next grade, the new beginning, then this is you passing the exam. So if you've gone through this year, I'm going to tell you, pass the exam. Pass the exam. What does that mean? We've been talking about it and talking about it. You need to do it God's way. Get yourself out of the way. Get on the altar of humility. Get your pride out of the way. Do it God's way so you can pass the exam, so you can go into the promised land. 8 is God's number of new beginnings. And I'm like, Lord, you know, it's just interesting how you can see God. Only God could know the different things. Only God knew what was going to happen in 2017 before 2017 got here. So this is not happened. This is not random, as the enemy would like you to believe. This is something God knew. He knew your days. Remember, his word says, your days are written in a book. I knew what you would go through right now, what you're going through right now. And I want you to pass the test, because just like the children of Israel, they were about to enter the promised land. Moses had died, and a new leader was chosen by God, Joshua. Another thing that's happening this year, a lot of things are changing. I don't know, just changes, people changing, leaving jobs, new people coming in, all kind of things are changing. this year. This is the year where we have this new president and we have all these things going on this year. Just new things are happening. They had come through the wilderness, had been through numerous hardship. Many of them had died. They made it very clear in scripture that the men of war that came out of Egypt, many of them, they were all gone. They all died in the wilderness because that's how hard the hardship was. And God had fed them his bread, his manna in the desert. See, when you're in the desert, I don't know if you've been there, when you just can't see a way, it seems like everything you try doesn't work. You know, you're going this way and that way. You can't get the job. You can't get this to work. But God sustains you. And God is feeding you. And God is keeping you. You got a roof over your head. It may not be the best roof. It may not be the roof that you want, but you got a roof. You know, the manna, they complain about the manna. You know, it was a manna again, manna every day, manna, manna, manna. But it sustained you and it kept you. And sometimes we miss the lesson in the manna time. We miss the lesson. We're too busy complaining. We're too busy looking for the better day that we're not sitting and listening to the lessons that God is teaching us during our manna time. But he was trying to teach them something. And those that would not listen, they died out. The scriptures make it clear. They would not listen to the Lord, so they died out. You don't want to be one of them. Okay, you don't want to be one of the folks that God is like, you know what? We're leaving you here. You know, you're going to stay right here in the wilderness as I take my children, the one that will listen to me. I'm going to take them on. You don't want to be one of those people. You want to be the ones that are moving on. So they had many hardships. God fed them with his bread, manna in the desert. All of these things led them to the point of new beginnings and victory guaranteed by God. Hallelujah. So here they are, this ragtag crew. They have seen some miracles. God was with them. That's why these armies on the other side of the Jordan were frightened, because they had heard about what God was doing for these people, these Israelites. So they were terrified as the Israelites were coming closer and closer to possess the land. And that's where the enemy is with you right now. The enemy sees you. You're passing the test. You're still here. You're hanging in there. I'm not saying you were perfect, but you're here and you're still trusting God. You're still sitting in Sunday school class. You're still, you know, yes, I had some rough days, but God, I'm here. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and the enemy right now is looking and he's terrified, like, oh my goodness, I know their blessing is coming. If I could just turn them around before they get their blessing, if I could just get them to walk backwards, if I could just get them to just give up. But please don't let them go into the promised land and possess the land. You guys, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You've been going through, but I'm telling you, you got a blessing coming, okay? 2017 was about getting you ready for the blessing, because God doesn't bless people. God doesn't bless sin. So he's purging all that stuff out of us, getting all that stuff, all that pride out of us, all that junk out of us. And now we're going into 2018. And oh, the enemy is like shaking in his boots. Oh my God. Once they get the blessing, oh, they're going to really tear my kingdom down. So it's coming. It's coming. So your next point says God had showed them his sovereignty. And at this point, they paused to be circumcised, to renew the covenant their father Abraham made with God. Circumcision denotes a pure covenant or a promise that comes from the father to the children, that they would serve God and that God would bless them and give them the victory in this land of new beginnings. In the original covenant, the newborn son was circumcised, get this, on the eighth day. The number of new beginnings. Again, God has order. God is order. God has order and God has structure. And I see that. I'm like, Lord, I always miss this, but now I'm seeing what you're doing. It's on the eighth day, the new beginning, the new child would be dedicated and circumcised to God on the eighth day. Let's read about this. Genesis is from Genesis 17, 7 through 14. And it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. See, this is the promise, the original promise that was made generations ago. And now here they're sitting at the brink of that land that God promised generations ago. And they're pausing to recommit themselves to God. And I want you to really get this, because this is something that you need to do too. God was moving on me. You need to recommit, recommit your life. To have some talks with God. Lord, I don't want to go into 2018 like this. I don't want to go. I'm leaving that stuff behind. I'm leaving certain things behind, because it's a time to pause and rededicate. You've been through the trials and the fire. Now it's time to recommit and rededicate yourself. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you through their generations. This is my covenant. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who was born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who was born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male, get this, the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Boy, this seems really, really strong, but God is making a point here. You know, because you can't let contaminants stay in your life. You know, you are responsible for yourself. And he's talking basically about yourself. You know, you need to deal with the contaminants that you're dealing with. That's what this pausing is about at the Jordan. They're pausing to deal with contaminants and deal with, you know, if God be God, are you going to serve him? It's asking a question. If you're not going to serve God, you need to stay here on the other side. Because those of us that are going in, we are for the living God. And that's what the question is to you. Are you going to be for the living God? You know, I know we live in a hard time. We are in a hard time. I'm telling you, to be Christian is something that people are just sneering at these days. And they're, you know, sometimes even in your own household, it's like the people, even people that say they're Christians, it's like, you know, you're wondering what's going on. Contaminants. Contaminants have gotten in there. You can't deal with their contaminants. You can just pray for them, but you can deal with your own. That's what this is about. This is dealing with your own, pausing before God, like, Lord, is there anything that I need to bring before you? Is there anything I need to repent of? Is there anything that I need to purify myself of before I take hold of the promise, of the blessing that you have for me? Again, this is a serious matter. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But you have to do it for yourself. As I said, we're going into the lesson, the war room. And if you're going to do warfare, if you're going to have victory, then you've got to have some, you've got to purify yourself. You cannot have victory if you've got sin in the camp. Do you understand? You can't. You know, it just doesn't work. God just is not going to bless that. He's not going to wink at your sin. You've got to deal with it. Deal with it here. On this side of the Jordan, deal with it. So that you can go on and bless and possess that land. So he can lead you into victory. We're talking, the theme of this lesson is victory. So we really have to look at ourselves and how we have to purify. I just thought it was so powerful how they stopped and they stayed there. And even after the men were circumcised, they had to heal. You know, and even some of us are hurting right now. We can't move. We can't move to left or to right. It's just like we're broken. We got some stuff going on, and we just need to heal. That's okay. Sit and heal before God. Heal, open your heart. Show God the wound and let yourself heal before God. Don't try to keep fighting. You're not 100%. That's why they don't have the men fight after they've been circumcised. They're not 100%. Sit and heal. God waits and God protects you. Wait before the Lord. Some of you are just waiting before the Lord. You don't see anything happening. You're just waiting before the Lord. It is a precious time. I'm telling you, it is a precious time. I used to like, okay, when is this going to be over? When are you going to do what I ask? When, you know, Lord, I've been praying and praying and praying. And you won't do what I ask. Things are not changing. It's all the same. Oh, you're missing the point. You're missing the lesson. God will have you wait before him. He will have you wait. You try to go here, the door is shut. There, the door is shut. He's having you wait so he can teach you, so you can heal. Because some of us are wounded and you are not ready to possess anything because you're so wounded that you would go in there and hurt somebody because you're still hurting. So God will have you sit and he'll have you heal. So open your heart to him and let him heal you. Let things go. Forgive people. We've already talked about that. We've talked about it over and over. Forgive people. Let God deal with it. We don't have time for that. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I got to go on with God. I can't be sitting here arguing my point. I don't care how right you were. Let it go so you can go on to the great things that God has for you and possess the land. The next point in the lesson said is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He continues to deal with us in the same manner he did Israel. We are all at various stages of the same experience as the children of Israel. Some of us are still in Egypt and in bondage. Unfortunately, but that's the case. Stagnant, won't move, won't do anything, just staying bound. Some of us are in the desert, learning the hard lessons, but growing in faith. So if you're in the desert learning the hard lesson, grow in faith. Learn your lessons well so you can move on. Some are being fed with the manna of God, learning and growing, but not yet to the promised land. He's just sustaining you. Not making any progress, but hey, you're here and you're alive and you're breathing. You're sustained by God. And some are at the gates of the promised land, pausing to rededicate their commitment to God before entering in. Hallelujah. Take advantage of that time while you're pausing. You can see the blessing on the horizon. You can see it. You know, it's like God has promised it, and now here it is, right over the horizon. And you pause to rededicate your life to God. You thank him for the lessons. Lord, I thank you for what you brought me through. As Andre Crouch sang that song, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Through it all, I learned to depend upon his word. And that's where you are right now. And then some are within the promised land doing battle and winning the fight and possessing the land as God has promised. Hallelujah. Where are you on your journey? You know, because even once you get in the promised land, you're going to still be doing some fighting. I'm going to tell you, that's why we're going to do the war room. Because as soon as you're going to get in the promised land and you're going to be victorious. You know, but we're going to talk about victory. How you get victory. Joshua was wise leader. Because he said, before we take these people in, we got to sit down. I'm going to hear God. We're going to get these folks committed, rededicated to God before we go into that land, because we've got to win some battles. And we want to be on God's side. As I said, not God on our side. We want to be on God's side. Your lesson says another poignant item in these verses is the command of God to circumcise all persons, foreign and domestic, who were living with the children of Israel. These people were under the protection of God and therefore are commanded by God to make covenant with him also. All had to be cleansed of sin and of serving other gods. No contamination could remain. If there was a refusal of the circumcision covenant, then that person was to be cut off from the people. Wow. Because they had to go in. And I'm like, I can't go in with somebody that, you know, is a traitor. I can't go in when I got hidden sins in my life. I got stuff going on that I don't want to give up. Relationships that I should have cut off. God told me to cut it off, and I still want to play and mingle with it. Things I'm doing that God has told me to get that out of my life, and I still want to play around with it and mingle with it. If you want victory, it all has to go. It all has to go. You have to choose this day who you're going to serve. And I'm telling you, it's never been more important and more critical than this day and age, that you've got to choose who you're going to serve. You've got to decide. If you're going to serve the enemy, you're going to serve yourself, or you're going to serve the true and the living God. You've got to decide, because it's going to be in your face every day what you're going to do and how you're going to stand. The next point says the victory of the whole nation demanded a commitment of the whole nation and the generations that followed. As the nation failed on their end of the covenant or the marriage and allowed impurities within, their victory was lost. Oh boy, the Isaiah the prophet spoke of this when he referred to Israel as a harlot. She did not keep the promise to her husband and lost her victory over her enemies. He said, how the faithful city has become a prostitute, idolatrous and despicable. She who was full of justice, right standing with God once, lodged in her, but now murderers. Oh man. And I will turn my hand against you. And that's in Isaiah 1:21. And then part 25a. I'm telling you, and folks, we see that happening around us. You know, we see that happening in our great nation, don't we? We see it happening. And as I said, this is not the wrath of God. This is just God, I remove my hand. Because my hand has been on you. That's why you've been so wonderful and you've been so great. And that's why you became the greatest nation in the world. And that's why you became this. And that's why you became so powerful. But as you have turned against me, I remove my hand. You can't sit under the protection of God and then don't want to obey God. It doesn't work that way for anything. We know that. As I said, you can't sit in the United States of America and want its protection and don't want to obey its laws. It doesn't work that way. So we're seeing something. But I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank because Jesus Christ has given us all a personal relationship. He doesn't deal with us corporately. And that's it. He deals with us individually. And I love that. That personal relationship. So you got to deal with your own contaminants. You got to deal with your own stuff before him. And then if you do, his promises is true that he will protect you. And he will keep you, and his hand will be around you. And he will carry you even into eternity. He will carry you. If a hurricane blows you away, he has you. Okay? He's got you. I was thinking about those people that were shot up in the church a few weeks ago. He had them. And I heard them talk about the news. The pastor was talking about the news. I know that these people are in the presence of the Lord right now. You know, all those people, I think 25 people killed, and including his daughter, 14-year-old, shot in the church. Yes. Folks, that's where we live in right now. That's what's going on right now, okay? Not the first church that's been shot. A few years ago, a church in Charleston was shot up. Prayer meeting. That's where we're living right now. So you want to be right with Jesus. I want to be right with Jesus. Because he's not a God of the temporal. He's not a God of just this world, you know. It was tragic, but I thank God for eternity. I thank God that Jesus carries us into eternity. And he keeps us. See, the tragedy is to go into eternity without him. See, that's tragic. Because then you're in the hands of another. Another that does not love you. another that will torment you for eternity. You do not want to go into eternity without Jesus Christ. So the whole nation had to commit. And the Lord said, and I will turn my hand against you, as he did Israel. This is an inevitability of all who break covenant with God. He will not bless sin. He will withdraw his hand and leave you or I vulnerable to the ravages of our enemies if we sin and continue without repentance. So again, I reiterate to you to pause, rededicate yourself as you go into 2018. Commit yourself. Have some really poignant times of prayer with the Lord. Get in your war room, your closet, wherever you're praying. Get in there and have some really heart-to-heart talks with God. You cannot hide your sin among the people of God. See, that's what was going on. You had people that were uncircumcised, and they were not even Israelites, but they were just kind of hanging out with the people of God. They came over. They won some battles with the people of God. But then there came a point where God said, I need those who are going to commit. And I think that this is the age we're living in. God is calling out the ones that will commit, not the ones that are waffling on the fence, not the ones that are lukewarm. We talked about that. He's calling us out. You can't hide among the people of God anymore. God will call you out and remove his hand of blessing from your life, and everybody will know. You've been through the wilderness with me. He says, you've seen my power. Now it's time to make a decision on your commitment before you enter the promised land. The next point on your lesson says, note Joshua's response to the man in our key verse in Joshua 5:14. When the man said that he was the commander of the army of the Lord, Joshua bowed and worshiped. All of Joshua's plans to fight his enemy were immediately submitted to the commander of the army of the Lord. Again, we see the presence of the altar of humility when it comes to fighting battles and getting victories. I tell you, it's interesting because Joshua said, who are you for? And he blatantly said, no. Are you with us? Are you with for our enemies? No. I'm with none of y'all. I'm with God. You know? And that's the way it is, folks. That's the reality of things, okay? We think we've got some righteous cause, and we're just going on our righteous cause and riding on our white horse, and we think God has got us. You better check. You better check, because this commander, the captain of the host of the Lord, is saying, no, I'm on God. I'm with God, and I'm going to do his righteousness in the land, so you've got to get on God's side, okay, not trying to recruit God to your side. And the first way we do this, and you know it's coming, that humility before God is your first and most powerful weapon before your enemy. If you can't get humble, you're not winning. I'm going to tell you right now, if you cannot humble yourself, you will not win. You will fail. I will tell you that truth. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So, honey, we got to humble ourselves. I got to humble my own. He'll humble you out of love. God will humble you out of love. That's why he knocked Saul off his horse. He's a good example because he thought he was on his righteous cause. And God had to knock him off his horse and blind him because he was a choleric. You know, he was one of them powerful temperaments. You know the type. I am the type. Powerful temperament. Can't tell him too much of anything. Those are the ones that Jesus will love enough to knock off their horse and blind them. So humility, we got to get, it's our greatest and best weapon is our humility. Without humility before the Almighty, you have no weapons that can assault your enemy. Do you get that? Without humility before the Almighty, you have nothing that can defeat Satan. Your human might is useless. You're just beating the air. You're just beating the air, not making any progress, just beating the air, just exhausting yourself. until you humble yourself before God, you will fail until you humble yourself. The scripture says this, and this is 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, and it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time, casting all your cares, hallelujah, all your anxiety, all your worry, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. I love that. And you see how he tied those two scriptures together? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then he talks about how he cares for you. He wants you to humble yourself so he can take care of you. Do you understand? You're worried. You can't sleep at night. You're full of anxiety. You're full of fear. And he's saying, if you would humble yourself before me, then I can care for you. And you can have peace. You can finally have peace. And that's found again in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. I love the way those scriptures came together. Why did he say those together? Because God can't care for us because we're too prideful. And that's another reason why we can't progress. We can't make any progress because we are too proud to humble ourselves. So he can care. So you can get a good night's sleep. The next point says Joshua won Jericho through his humility and obedience to the Lord. A soldier will never win a war alone or if he is disobedient to his commander. The commander is the strategist in battle, knowing the weapons, the timing, the positioning of each of his soldiers to bring about the victory. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ is the strategist. You don't know anything. I'm sorry, you've just been here a minute. In comparison to eternity, compared to the history of the world, you've just been here a minute. It's interesting how history, as we talked about, history repeats itself over and over again with every generation. It happens again and again and again. And it saddens me as I see the generation that's coming up and how they have just got this attitude toward God, and they're unstable, you know? They're just here, there, everywhere. It's like they can't seem to focus on anything for any length of time. And I'm like looking at them and I'm like, oh my God, it's just, Lord, where are we going? Where are we headed? We're heading the same direction as the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. We're heading the same direction. Sad but true. So we have to learn, those of you that are going to go with God, you have to learn to listen to your commander in chief. You have to know when he has put you on assignment and stay on your assignment. Don't be fleeting off everywhere. Stay on assignment. I know your feelings got hurt, but stay on assignment. I know they didn't accept you, but stay on assignment. You know, that's what the soldiers do when the commander tells them, okay, I want you here, I want you here, I want you here, I want your weapons drawn. I mean, the one over here doesn't say, well, there's too much mud over here. And it doesn't smell right over here. So I'm going to move over here where it's kind of grassy. This area is not covered. The battle could be lost because you're not on assignment. Folks, we're talking about victory. We're talking about, and again, humility. Stay in the mud. We need you in the mud. We need you right there. That's where the commander has put you. So you stay there until he moves you out. He is the strategist. He knows everything that's going on. He knows what's going on in your family. But I want to take care of this. And I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? But I had to say it. And I was like, Lord, why didn't I just let it go? But I'm learning. I'm learning to listen to the strategist. That my comment was not needed. That the Lord was already dealing with it. The Lord was already taking care of it. My place was here in the mud in prayer. just praying and praying and praying and stay in prayer and stay in prayer, not over there trying to fix it. Oh, God help us, especially us ladies. I know we ladies, we're so guilty. We're so guilty. We just gotta fix it. We're fixers. We like to fix stuff. Brothers do too. But I just, you know, if we don't get anything else, we have to learn the obedience, we have to learn the humility, we have to learn how to stay on the orders of our commander in chief and be stable as we move toward victory. Yes, there are going to be arrows coming at you, there's going to be battles coming at you, but hold your position in God. Hold your position. Keep praying. And don't let everything just move you. I'm so surprised sometimes in the church. I'm like, in the house of God, I'm like, what? The instability. I'm like, really? You're doing this, you're doing that. I know God calls people different places. I'm not saying that. I know God does. But more often than not, feelings got hurt. This happened and that happened. And the church of Jesus Christ is losing battle. It's losing ground because you're not on position. You're not where you're supposed to be. Wasted years. I've seen people that have wasted years of their life out of position. AWOL. People AWOL on Jesus Christ. Absent without leave. On Jesus Christ. You're not calling the shots. The captain of the host of the Lord is calling the shots. He is the strategist. Our place is to be willing, humble, and obedient. In the case of Joshua and the children of Israel, when all was said and done, praise brought the walls down. Praise brought the walls of Jericho down. It wasn't Joshua's strategy. It was God's strategy that brought the walls down. And we're going to talk more about this in the lesson, and I don't want to jump ahead and get to other parts of the lesson, but I just really want you to study Joshua 5 over and over again and just see the different steps that they took in that chapter. It was just, you know, the Lord was just opening up how, you know, if you want victory, he's got it. He's got your victory, your personal victory, that the stuff you're dealing with right now, he has it. But you're pausing right now. And he's asking you, are you going to serve me? Are you going to be committed to me? Are you going to commit every part of you to me? Because he's not taking any half-baked saints. He's calling us out. I'm telling you, folks, there's no other time in history like this time. 2017 has never been seen before. 2018 has never been seen before on planet Earth. It's going to be seen. And he's calling his people out. So we have really got to get this, and we really got to get this if we want to be victorious. I tell you, the mediocre need not apply. If you don't want to go on, you need not apply. And I'm telling you, without Jesus Christ, you won't make it. You won't make it without him. You think you're just going to coast? That time is over, folks. That time is over, just like they're saying here. Those that are among you that don't want to be circumcised, cut them off. Because God is removing his hand. So we really want to get this. Any comments? Rita. You burning?
Speaking about, you know, God being a God of order is just awesome. Mm-hmm. We are ending this lesson and going to start the work room, though. But you were speaking about the number 7 being the number of completion and number 8, new beginnings. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of number 5 is a number of grace.
Yes.
And we can't have number 7 or 8 without 5.
Amen. Amen.
But that is just so awesome. And I And I do care, and I know it was Thanksgiving and everything, but I personally, but I know the whole pastors, just want to say thank you for the teacher that you are and for teaching us truth and for making us, the people we are. And now as we're just going to go into battle, that we have to be in it together. But I just want to thank you for your gift.
Praise God. And I tell you, you guys are such a blessing to me. You don't know what you all do for me, just being able to share this, because it's just, and we're all in this together, folks. We're all going into 2018 together, and I'm telling you, I want all of you guys coming with me. Yeah. Let's go, I'm telling you, so we're going to, use December, and just recommit. I know it's Christmas time, it's a holy time. What a better time. What a better time to sit before the Lord and to rededicate your life. Go through things. Go back in your mind. Think about people you haven't forgiven. Just think about things that you need to just let go and get yourself pure so we can go on to victory together.
I'm going to ask Karen, where do you get the numbers at? Different numbers?
The numbers, the God's number. There's a book, biblical numerology that has scripture and everything. So yeah, 5 is a number of grace. I know 9 is a number of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, 9.
And there, there's other. I'll have to bring the book to show you, Margaret.
I just want to read out of Matthew 16:24. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it.
Wow.
But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it.
Yeah.
And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world?
Wow.
But lose your own soul?
Jesus.
And this is the part I want to emphasize. Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with angels in glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds.
Wow. Boy, that is powerful. And that, boy, that says it all, doesn't it? That's Matthew
16:24-27.
Wow. I tell you, that says it right there. That says it right there. Because he's coming, folks. He's coming. Don't let the enemy tell you he's not coming, that we're all this way down in history and he hasn't come. He's coming. He is. Anybody else have a comment?
Thank God that even if you, those things, you say let go and all that, even if you're still holding on to him, he still forgives you. And to humble yourself means to, just surrender to God.
It means what?
Just surrender yourself to God.
Yeah, surrender yourself.
I want to tell.
Yeah.
I don't want to embarrass Rachel, but.
Okay, because I've got the mic on.
Rachel. Sorry to be wrong.
Can
you just pray for me,
yeah.
Rachel?
Yeah. Well, we will pray, and you keep praying for your family.
You got the mic on. Pray for us.
Yeah. Keep praying, and I want to encourage you all. I'm in the boat too, just praying for your family, keep praying. Don't give up, and as I said, sometimes God calls that one person in the household to be the priest of the family, that one person that will purify themselves, remember how the priests had to purify themselves before they went to the Holy of Holies? Sometimes God is calling you. Purify yourself before me and you pray and I will hear your prayers concerning your household and concerning your family. So don't give up.
So it's never too late if you're still messing up, because as long as you repent, keep working.
It's never too late. And learn to look at what he is doing.
Yes.
Learn to look at the little things. Sometimes we want this big, massive miracle when God is doing it step by step, day by day. It may be something that they said that's a little different today. Don't ignore that. That's the Holy Spirit moving and working. And keep praying. Thank him for those little things. I'm telling you, God loves a grateful heart. He does. And when you see that, sometimes I said, oh my God, They actually said thank you today. Oh my goodness, they actually did it. Oh God, they actually washed a cup. They didn't wash all the dishes, but they washed the cup. Thank you, Jesus. They washed the cup. You know, just the different things that you can just be grateful. God loves a grateful heart. And as he sees that you're grateful and you're seeing what he's doing, he'll do more and he'll do more and he'll do more. You know, he does so much for us that we just take for granted. The fact that you're here today, do you know what a blessing that is? Do you know over, what is it? What's the number? Like 1 million people die every week. Did you know that in the world, on the planet Earth, 1 million die a week. A week. All over the world, all over the earth, 1 million a week. Over 1 million a week die. Look at the world clock. Look at the world clock and you'll see. I was like, oh my God, these numbers can't be real. Yes, they are. But you're here. You're here living and breathing, and oh God, I thank you that I'm here.
As long as we have breath, we have a chance.
Amen. As long as we have breath, we have a chance. So anyway, if there's no more...
No matter how rough things get, we still need to have our quiet time. We just need to go and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. Here, take me back to where I used to be. Let's go. You know, and he's right there. He has his hand out for us all the time. And it's all we have to do is just say, I'm sorry, forgive me.
Yes.
And he doesn't question us.
Yes.
He doesn't say, do you remember when? You know, you've done this before and you want me to do this again? No. Yeah, but the thing is that he knows our heart.
Yes.
And that's what's most comforting to me.
Yes.
You know, when I see all this chaos in the world that's going on, I just said, I'm so glad, Lord, that you know my heart. You know, even though I get so aggravated with these adults acting like animals, you know, it's just so sad that we live in America.
Yeah.
And we're destroying America. Mm-hmm. So, it's with Thanksgiving like it is, and Christmas, and we just need to draw close to the Lord and know that. And just like I say, God, it's time for you to come back and get your children.
Yeah.
It's time to come back and get your children.
And you know, and you said something really important, Virginia. Don't stop praying, folks.
No.
I know it looks bad. I know you watch the news and your hearts are grieved and heavy. Mm-hmm. Please keep praying. That's the only thing that's helping and sustaining. Yeah. And our prayer is that all that can be saved would be saved. Mm-hmm. But it's going to happen as you keep praying. You know, keep praying. If you just have to lay on your face and just weep and cry for the nation, you know, before God, do it.
This hate is a cancer. This hate.
Yes. Yes.
When Pastor Jim said, when Pastor Jim preached, he said, you never give up.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Never give up.
You know, when you heard last week when Pastor Steve said, but I told God last night and this morning, he said, I'm asking for forgiveness again for that. Million times, like even Pastor, it's encouraging to know Pastor Steve says that there's no limit to how many times.
Yeah,
it's encouraging to hear
there's
that.
There's no limit.
Everybody messes up, even Pastor.
We all, yes, we all do.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I used to like the news, talking about the news and how negative it is, and it can put especially non-believers in fear and. And I even speak for myself sometimes because that's where the enemy wants us. But speaking about the change, you know, it starts right in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get overwhelmed, I think, as Christians because maybe the type of ministry we're doing or like we should be doing more, or what can we do more. But I think we sometimes forget that, you know, if we want to see change perpetuated in the world, it starts at home with ourselves, our spouses, our children,
because
those are our next generations.
Yes.
And I just have a personal testimony. I'm new here, and my name is Kendra, and just kind of piggybacking on how to like never give up and with the prayer. And in my own personal walk with Christ, my husband played a huge part in discipling me and leading me to Jesus. And he actually walked away from God and church for about 4 years. And just about a month ago, he has a brother here at Praise Assembly who sorry, it's
all right.
It's God.
Sorry.
Who has recently accepted Christ in the last year or so, and attends here and invited my husband to start coming. And so I was the wife with the kids that was always going to church by myself, and it's tough, and it's been frustrating at times, but all I knew to do was to pray. And you do get frustrated, and you feel like, you know, does he hear? Are you hearing me? I know you're hearing me, but I'm not seeing it. And is it ever going to end? Is it ever going to turn around? And I just want to say from my own personal experience that it does turn around. My husband's here today. He's been coming for the last month. He's attending Bible studies again with the men. And the change, the work that I see God doing again in his heart and that recommitment is it's just, it's beautiful. So yes, as long as we have breath, there's hope. And when we don't know what to do, just pray. Even he hears, he's working it out. He's working it out.
Thank you. Thank you, Kendra, for sharing. And you're absolutely right. You know, don't give up. Don't give up. You know, keep praying.
Yes, Lord God.
Let God show you. You know, and if you're sensitive, God will speak to you through the day. And he'll show you those little things that he's doing in lives and in people. He'll show you. You know, sometimes we're moving at such a fast pace, we miss it. You know, sometimes we're on our phones so much, we miss it. And we're so busy, you know. But ask God, God, show me. Show me what you're doing. And he'll show you. It was funny because I was studying this lesson, and I was like, boy, and I was talking about the promised land, and I was doing this lesson yesterday, and I was talking about waiting before the Lord, and then I went in my kitchen, and I have this calendar that you pull off the page every day, and the page was talking about waiting before God. I'm like, oh, wow, that was just what I was studying. What a coincidence. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I thank you, Lord, for showing me, for confirming that. And then I went downstairs, my son, Matt. You know, you guys know Matt, he has autism. And I went into this little room where he has his computer, and he's playing this VeggieTales song, Going to the Promised Land. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I said, okay, God, I hear you loud and clear. We're going to the Promised Land. I get it, you know. He has not played that in years. And I'm walking in there. I'm just going to give him something. And I walk in there, and this song is just blasting. I mean, he had the volume up so high. We're going to the Promised Land. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and I'm like, Lord, that's you again. You know, and you may say it's a coincidence, but I know God was hearing. God was hearing as we were studying the lesson. And God was saying, you know, I want you to tell them in the class tomorrow that we're going to the Promised Land, and I've got you. I've got your back, and we're going to win this war, and we're going to regain the land that the enemy stole from us, folks. We're going to get it back. We're going to get that land back. Okay, so you don't give up on your children. You don't give up on your family. We're getting that land back, and we're going on to victory.
Dr. Karen, we just need to keep our family in prayer. We're the gap. We're the ones that stand in the gap for them by praying. I've had my granddaughters that came to the Lord, and now they're not walking with him. My daughter was estranged from God for 14 years, and now she's walking with him just because God kept me on my knees praying for her. And the good work he began in them, he will see it come to completion, because he's the author and the finisher of their faith, not us and not even themselves.
Amen.
God is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, we try to take credit for what God is doing, the faith that he's given us, but it's not us. It's God. All God.
I'm telling you, if you pay attention, he'll show you. I'm telling you, and I'm encouraging you all, get your war rooms ready. You know, if you got a closet at home, whatever, wherever you're going to get your war rooms ready, okay? And get a list of those people, okay, that you're going to put on that wall. Because we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God, because we're going to take ground back. Enough of this. We're going on to victory. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for victory, Lord God. And Lord, right now, Lord, as we start out in this lesson, Lord, yes, we pause And we sit before you today, Lord God, even in this class, Lord, we pause, Lord God, and we ask that you would examine us, Lord God, that you would bring up front to our mind and our hearts the things, Lord God, that you would like to purge out of us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Habits, or Lord God, relationships, Lord, whatever it might be that we need to lay before you, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would do it. Oh, Lord, that you would bring it to our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would break up the hardened ground in our hearts, Lord God. Oh, Father, sometimes we have those little closets with that little stinky stuff in there, and we don't want you in that closet. We'll give you the rest of our heart, but not our little closet. But, Lord, I pray that we would open up the closet, that we would let you come into it and help us clean it up, Lord God. Oh, Father, we want to be fully circumcised in you, Lord God. We want to be pure before you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that you would heal hearts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we would finally, finally let it go. Oh, God, that we would not let the enemy torment us anymore from the past and the things that have happened, the things that we have done and the things that have been done to us. Lord God, I pray we would bring it to your feet and we would let it go, Lord God, and we would be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for the victory coming to us, Lord God. We thank you for the season of new beginning. Oh, God, but we come to the next level, the higher level in God, and we go forward, Lord God. Father, we proclaim and we claim the land in the name of Jesus, the land in our home. Oh, God, the land in our work. Oh, Lord, the land in all that we do. Oh, God, we're claiming it in Jesus' name because we know there is no failure in you. There is only victory in you. So, Lord, we stand in your victory today. Oh, God, we pray that you would come, Lord God. We pray your kingdom would come and your will would be done, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, as we fight that we're constantly looking up to the sky because we know that you are coming, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let us be on our post. Let us be on our post, Lord God. Father, I pray for those that have gone AWOL, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would call them back to their post in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we continue to pray for this great nation, Lord God. We continue, Lord, that you would lift up a standard by your Spirit in the land, Lord God. No matter what it looks like, Lord God, we pray for the great revival to come. Oh, God, and sweep over this nation. Oh, Lord, we declare that we are one nation under God. We are one nation under God in the name of Jesus. We claim it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we take back the ground that the enemy has stolen. In your name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. The captain of the host of the Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.